All right. Welcome back to the pod, episode 3 of Hunter, Horner, and Klein. Sorry for the little hiatus, guys. I was out of the country.
Somebody had to go take a vacation to Germany.
He was roughing it there.
Working trip.
Yeah, sure.
but good to be back. We have a full show today. We got to go quick. We have time limits for everything that we're doing. Klein, run us through what we're talking about today.
We have the ongoing NFL draft, which kicked off last night. We're going to recap anything from the draft. We have some major NFL signings, re-signings, and salary discussion. We're going to talk about a returned Heisman Trophy. We're going to talk about Caitlin Clark's jersey sale in effect. And we're going to start with a little PGA.
A little golf.
Quick wrap up there.
Right on. So we had the Masters 2 weeks ago, I believe, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Scottie Scheffler just dominating, as he has been most of this year.
3 major wins in a row. Not even close in a couple of those. Right now, he's unstoppable.
Is he the banner carrier? Is he the guy? I mean, again, we mentioned this before, Tiger Woods. He was kind of the guy, and obviously how he played, that was
made rough. The cut, though. He made his, 26th he cut did. In a row or something like that, which is impressive.
But it was rough for him. It was a rough weekend.
Well, he shot the worst round in a major ever in his career after being somewhat in contention, right? He made the cut on day 1 and 2, so he makes that cut, goes into day 3, and then shoots, I think it was 10 over or something. I mean, it was the worst round he's ever had.
He looked like you on a couple of those holes, Klein.
It makes me have hope that I'll make my professional tour one day because he golfs like I do.
Well,
out of the woods and off trees.
So is the curtain closing? Is the curtain going down on Tiger?
I think it already has.
Yeah.
Honestly. I mean, he wants to stay relevant, and I think he still feels like he has something in the tank. But I don't think that tank is quite as large as it used to be.
I think, given his injuries and his age, he's not old by a lot of standards, but I think the injuries have racked up, and he, when he does play, looks like he's in pain. Yeah. It just looks miserable for him. He wills himself through it, which I commend him 100% for even being in contention at all, given the run he's had of injuries and knee problems and back problems and you name it. But I don't – I would love for him to win one more. I would love to see it just for the sport, just for a curtain call, if you will. I don't think it will.
So Nicklaus's record is not going to be beaten.
No,
unless Scotty does it. I mean
– Well, and that's I guess, the question really is he going to be the next person that just goes on a massive run and is pretty much untouchable? I mean, he was shooting – quite impressively, not going to lie. I mean, he really was dominant.
And it looked like it was going to be a great final round at the Masters because everybody was clumped up.
There were 3 guys tied at 7 under.
It was awesome. But then Scotty just did what Scotty does, and he didn't make mistakes.
2 birdies in a row, and the other guys either parred or bogeyed it, and all of a sudden you had a 3-stroke gap on almost everybody.
Right. Well, Morikawa puts one in the water, and so – golf, I don't know. Golf's pretty fun right now, but he needs someone. Like Tiger had Phil, Scotty needs someone to challenge him.
We had
on a weekly basis.
Like Rory went on a tear there for a while when he came onto the scene. Is Scheffler going to be a flash in the pan right now in terms of the dominance and winning? Right. Is he a flash in the pan? Is he going to continue? I think give him 2 more major wins in this upcoming year, or through the close of this year. If he gets, say, another major or 2, I think he is that dominant face. But he has to maintain this level.
Well, time will tell.
It
will.
All right.
Moving on.
Caitlin Clark. Incredible. Jersey sales are up.
Incredible.
Number 1 pick.
Yep.
Number 1 jersey sales.
Pretty. And what were you saying, Klein?
There was a statistic thrown out that within like 2 days or over the weekend of the draft, her jersey sales had already outnumbered the jersey sales of the entire Dallas Cowboys team, America's team in the most popular sport in America,
Caitlin Clark sold more jerseys in 2 days.
Caitlin Clark
than
wiped the Cowboys,
Cowboys
off the map with that.
Yeah. Wow. So my daughter, huge Caitlin Clark fan, could not get a jersey or even them. A t-shirt. That's how popular this.
They sold out.
It's incredible.
In under a day, hours.
And I mean, it is the Cowboys, though.
Yeah, true.
I mean, if someone's going to mess it up, it's going to be the Cowboys,
right?
Yeah. We'll talk about them probably in the draft too, but it is impressive. It's definitely bringing a ton of attention to a game that, for the average fan, they're not tuning in for the WNBA. You talk about NBA, you talk about NFL, you talk about MLB, even PGA, and heck, even the NHL.
Yeah.
WNBA is not considered something that is, but she is changing that status very quickly.
Well, teams are moving their games against the Fever to larger stadiums, right?
Yeah.
Which, that's a testament to the popularity that she brings to the league and the excitement. And it's just phenomenal for sports, right? Not just women's sports, but sports in general.
She hasn't even dribbled the ball yet as a professional, and she's already having this kind of impact. Again, transformative athletes. I think we're seeing the next round of that.
Yeah.
It's the next generation of it.
Yes, hand in hand with Scotty.
And it's just great for that whole league in general. Bigger venues is more revenue. More revenue, you're going to get more coverage, more media. Hopefully their salaries move up a little, you know.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to have to.
They will have to.
She did sign a really nice deal with Nike for some shoes.
That's the good thing is that at least, I mean, you can say what you want about, like, they've been comparing her salary to, like,
yeah,
the
that's not
one
fair.
Men's
that's
pick. Not fair because the NBA, 10 times more revenue.
Yeah.
They subsidize the WNBA for the most part. So comparing those isn't fair. But when you look at where they're going to make their money, they had three of the top 10 in college sports were women in terms
NIL
of NIL.
Yeah.
So they're making money.
Right. Doesn't have to come from the league.
Your top players will.
Yes.
Well, and now it's all legal.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So
for
they
them
can start
earning
in college.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And getting
now,
money.
Speaking of legal in college, perfect transition to Reggie Bush.
Oh. Yeah.
Reggie Bush,
Heisman.
USC Heisman winner, most dominant player in college football for a couple of years. He was phenomenal. If you haven't seen him play, it's a while back.
05.
Won the Heisman.
I was actually at the Bush Push game.
Really?
Notre Dame versus USC. So he gets it returned because
– Well, first he has it. First he has it taken away.
Yeah.
Because he was accepting money, or his family was on his behalf, which was against the rules. Obviously, before NIL deals, before athletes could accept money, have agents, they couldn't do any of that until they were until they had declared to go pro. So he broke some rules, and they had all the USC wins negated from that year. They were vacated, and they took his trophy away.
Yeah.
He is not in the record book.
So now he gets it back, but does this open up Pandora's box is the question. So now do Michigan, right? Will you guys get your Final Four banners put back up at Chrysler Arena? Chris Webber took money from a booster. Remember,
they got rid of the
banners.
Well,
USC get their wins back?
Yeah.
Because they had to vacate all that.
Right.
So to clarify, he won the appeal with the Heisman conglomeration. I forget what it's called.
This is actually the statement they put out. Recognizing that the compensation of student athletes is an accepted practice and appears here to stay, these fundamental changes in college athletics led the trust to decide that now is the right time to return the trophy to Bush, who unquestionably was the most outstanding college football player of 2005.
Right. So the Heisman.
The Heisman trophy. Trust, right?
Or the Heisman Trust.
Heisman Trust.
They have
Heisman
returned
trophy
his
trust,
trophy.
Right.
The NCAA has yet to recognize anything in terms of his records, the USC records and wins. So now he is still fighting a legal battle about that.
Yeah.
So he's still in a battle. He has his trophy, and now they're trying to move forward and get the NCAA to do the same thing the Heisman Trust has done.
Right.
So
we'll see what happens. I mean, it'll be interesting.
So opening that Pandora's box, should he have that trophy back?
Well, I don't think they should have taken it from him to begin with, right? I mean, people, Booster's been paying off players since this whole thing started. And to think that they were amateur athletes is nonsensical, right? But, you know, there were rules, and so they took it from him. But if they're changing the rules now, I mean, if I get a speeding ticket on a road that was 55 and now it's 70, do I get my money back because they changed the rules? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like it's opening up a whole lot of other stuff.
I guess they could offer to take it off your record. But right.
The damage is already done in that case.
But the damage has been done because it damaged his character, mm-hmm. damaged even his career. I mean, he was dealing with all of that when he was trying to move into the professional world and be an athlete in that world. And it was just, once that happened, I mean, it's not that he didn't have it's not that he had a bad NFL career. It's just, I think that did impact his NFL career, even from a mental standpoint, right?
Changed the way people viewed him.
Yeah. Yeah. He had 2,800 all-purpose yards in 2005 by himself, right?
Oh, that's incredible. That's a lot. Yeah.
That's incredible. And now they're saying, because you took money, we're going to take, that's a mental thing. And we all know athletes at the highest level, a lot of it's also a mental thing. So I think that it did impact his overall career.
I think when it comes to things like that, like they took his Heisman away, but in one of his statements, he was basically saying, I didn't cheat at the game of football.
Right.
Right. All the accolades he got, all the yards he amassed, that was his hard work. And to take that away, right? You look at Michigan this year, they got sanctioned for a couple things, but the work those players put in and the fact that they were the best team in football is undisputable. Whatever other things happen.
Have you noticed how every conversation comes back to Michigan wow. and their lone net or the national championship? So that's.
But that one is a theme. That one is a very recent example of the same system.
Well, the coach was punished.
Yes.
Right. So,
but I'm saying that was a good choice. If they would have negated wins from Michigan or denied them the chance to play for the national championship for something the coach did preseason. That then we'd be having a whole different discussion. Mm-hmm. I like how they handled that one. I would have liked to see that with Reggie Bush not lose his Heisman, but maybe have some other penalty he would incur. And I don't have anything off the top of my head that would fit because he's leaving college and going to the pro. But punishing
the – Well, when did the news come out that he had accepted money from boosters? Was it right after – the national championship game, or was it a couple years later? Like, I can't remember when they took the Heisman from
him. I can't remember either.
I think it was.
If only there were a device we could type questions into, and it would give us the answer.
Oh, I think it's 2010, I want to say.
Okay, so it wasn't like he got it taken from him right after he went into the pros.
He won it in 05, and I think it was a couple years after.
Yeah, so.
So I think they found out.
Yeah.
All the stuff and then went through whatever.
Because Carroll leaves.
Law system. Right? Carroll left.
He left right after that season.
June
2010. Okay, so
boom.
We're talking 5 years.
5 years after the fact. And then they take the trophy that he has now possessed for 5 years.
Yeah. But the information had come out well before that. I think they were trying to decide what should happen. Hmm. And then the Heisman Trophy Trust determined that because of that egregious, you know, breach of whatever, they would take it away. And it's, I mean, now they're getting paid. And I think all this is showing that college sports was long overdue to move on from a very antiquated system that really the students were not, yes, they got an education, they had a full ride, they had all these other things, but they're really putting their lives on the line, and the schools and NCAA, they were making all this money off of them.
Ton.
And I think everyone would agree that that should have been rectified long ago.
Yeah.
Now, if that would have happened, we wouldn't have the issues now with the transfer portal and the NIL. And I want to get I don't want to get back into that.
That's a whole other episode.
That's probably a two-episode like combo. But I think that this is just showing that it was well overdue. They're trying to go back and right some of the wrongs. And I think that's a good step forward, at least for the Heisman Trophy Trust. Let's now see what the NCAA what they do with it.
Yeah.
Because truthfully, the ball's now in their court.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. All right, so, you had NFL signings.
Yeah, we're going to pop in before we get to the draft because some of what happened pre-draft affects what goes on in the draft, right?
Sure does, yeah.
A guy, you re-sign a guy that you didn't have, you don't know if your wide receiver is coming back, you don't, you know, clear some stuff up. So starting with the Detroit Lions, my team, going back.
Always.
It's always the
Lions. It's ridiculous.
Have now spent big bucks on two players. They gave Penei Sewell the highest contract for an offensive lineman, and they gave Amon-Ra St. Brown the highest contract for a wide receiver. So they have two positionally top salaries.
And so they extended their contract.
So they extended it for 4 years. Okay. So both of them were a four-year deal. I know Amon-Ra got $120 million, 77 guaranteed over 4 years, averaged about $30 million a year, all said and done. So not to be outdone by that, and this is where market change happens. So Detroit said, Amon-Ra is worth the money. We're going to pay him as the top receiver in the league. Philadelphia Eagles are sitting on A.J. Brown, their top receiver, who has played a little longer than Amon, but he has comparable stats, maybe a little better. Now they have to pay him. So guess who is now the highest? Three or 4 days later, the new highest paid wide receiver, and they both overtook Tyreek Hill, who had the previous.
A.J. Brown's was a three-year, $96 million total.
Holy.
84 guaranteed.
Highest guarantee of any wide receiver.
32 annually.
Yes. So he beat.
So in a 16-game season, he's getting $2 million a game.
Dang.
Yep.
So that's impressive.
It's not a bad Sunday.
When they say
not a bad Sunday at all.
When they say move the needle, right?
Yeah.
That, so now you look at a guy like Brandon Ayuk for San Francisco 49ers. He has not been traded. He has not re-signed with the team. He's in limbo.
But he's not a free agent.
No.
But he is not a free agent. But he has requested to be a trade. Yeah. So knowing the market now, does a team want to trade for him and then potentially have to sign him for a contract, maybe not that large, but larger than you would want, or do you go through it about the draft? So these signings have a huge impact on what teams now can do. Not only do you know where some players went or where they're locked into, now you know the salary of a veteran player or a high-profile player, and you know what voids to fill.
Right.
What do you do in the draft?
Well, now the draft and drafting those skill positions is so important because you have that fifth-year option on the rookie contract, right?
And those rookie contracts are very favorable.
Oh, yeah, for a team. So,
oh, man.
I mean, so now you didn't Kirk like set it the guy receiver for was he the Panthers or the
Christian
Jaguars?
Kirk.
Christian Kirk.
Christian Kirk.
Last year,
yeah.
Didn't the Jaguars signed him for some ridiculous amount of money, and that kind of set the bar. And he's a good receiver, but he's not.
Like Kirk Cousins last year.
Yeah.
Signed for almost 200. It was 180 maybe? 180
with the
million,
Falcons?
With the Falcons. And he's not a Patrick Mahomes.
No, not even
right?
close.
He's not one of your top tier. Don't get me wrong, he's a good quarterback.
Right.
I'm glad he's out of Minnesota
so
that my team doesn't have to face him anymore.
But he's older,
but
and he's coming
older,
off an Achilles injury.
Coming off Achilles,
which kind of
two knocks against him. But to give a guy, but that shows where the market's at.
Right.
If you're a manageable quarterback, you're getting paid.
Yeah.
So all that being said, oh, and not to mention the Bengals have their number two wide receiver and starting tight end, T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson, have also requested a trade.
Mm.
So they're in. There's another receiver. Right. How much is he going to be looking for as a veteran? And you know what you're getting with him.
Right. So, which, I mean, the money is ridiculous. I think we could all agree with that.
And I think part of the reason why they're spending so much right now is they're expecting next year's salary cap to get a big boost.
Mm.
Like, that's the prediction out there, is that they're going to get a large enough that they're going to be able to absorb some of these crazy contracts and continue to build that pool while getting these really fairly inexpensive
The way they can restructure deals too, yeah, where a guy yeah. says, "Okay, I'll take this in
backloaded,
in yeah. a backloaded, or take some of this in the next year," and they can finagle some of the money. They're very good at that.
Yeah.
I don't understand half of the things that you read and hear. And well, this guy took this much for this year on a whatever contract. Some of that just gets crazy, but. With the Lions spending big bucks on two players.
Once again.
The Lions. There's the Lions.
But we're good for 4 years, right? Then when does the.
So these long term contracts, right? That's why that rookie contract is so valuable. So you get somebody, you sign him for that rookie minimum, you extend him for that 5th year team option, and you keep them in the fold, right? So that kind of dovetails perfectly.
Best example of that. Chicago.
Let's talk about
they Bears. Did not want to pay Fields
yep.
that 5th year option, and let alone whatever he was going to get paid. Because, I mean, if Kirk Cousins is getting what he's getting, imagine what a younger quarterback that has a high ceiling that just hasn't reached it yet.
Yeah, could get.
Could get.
Exactly.
So, Bears traded him away for basically peanuts, and they went out and they got their quarterback. And the number one pick was Caleb Williams,
right?
Quarterback of the future.
Right. A franchise-changing trade or draft, I think, for the Bears.
Yes.
Now, as my wife told me, I say that every year, and I'm always angry and teary-eyed by October. But this year's different, right, Horner?
Yeah.
I mean, not only did we get our number one quarterback, the best player in the draft, but then because of how everything shook out,
we
get probably the second best receiver. The number four player in Mel Kiper's board with Rome Odunze.
He is easily a day one impact player that can high point the ball, sure handed, can get yards after the catch. I mean, he's an amazing wide receiver. And
truly.
To say that Chicago has more than one wide receiver that can actually catch a ball.
Well, and a quarterback that can throw it to him. I mean, that's the thing, right?
If you remember a couple episodes ago, I was all on the Justin Fields band. I wanted him to keep him. I wanted to make the trade, the haul, get Rome, get all these players. That's moved on. I will openly admit what I was saying did not come true. But we still got the wide receiver that I really wanted.
Yes. But I like how they did it. This draft really favored off. I mean, if you had a high pick, the offense went just off the board. The first 13, I believe,
crazy.
Picks. The first 13 picks, 14 actually, were all offense. So,
and of those 14,
six quarterbacks.
I mean, Bo Nix going in the first round. That's
so
crazy.
So when you look at 30 already.
Yeah, I know.
When you look at any team that did not need 100% have to draft an offensive weapon, you were sitting pretty because you're getting somebody good.
Here we go.
So the edge rushers, there's a team. I'm not even going to go there. I'm saying,
which team got that?
Who was the first defender, Horner? Who was the first defender to go off the board?
It was for
Liatu.
Liatu
for the Chiefs or the Colts.
Colts.
So they picked up the very first defender, which was an edge rusher, and the first few. And when that ran started, so once the offensive run
ended,
kind of the bubble burst there, some of the talent started to fade off. You had an edge rusher, a D tackle, an edge rusher, one offensive tackle, another edge, a guard, and an edge, and a cornerback.
Yeah.
So you went on like a 7-2 defensive run.
Right.
So those teams in that middle pack got some really good value on their defensive prospects. You basically picked who you didn't think was coming to you.
Well, look at who Minnesota took out of Alabama, right? What was that guy's name?
Dallas Turner.
Dallas Turner, right. He was a top five pick.
They were saying he was going to go number 8.
Yeah. So, okay.
And we haven't even talked about the 8th pick yet. But
he dropped to 17.
Yeah. So that tells you how valuable teams feel offensive players are.
I also think this draft is trying to rebalance the scales because no one wanted to sell the farm to move up.
Exactly.
Like they did last year. Because the only reason this happened is because of last year.
Exactly.
Where are the Panthers right now?
They jumped up to the first. Yep. They got the last pick in the first round.
Well, they did.
They had to get their guy.
But look, their team finished in last, dead last year, had a quarterback who didn't pan out, maybe because of the situation he's in. Yep. Jury's still out on him.
Yeah.
But their situation didn't pan out because they were dead last year. And this year, they really didn't have much in terms of draft picks. So they traded up and gave away whatever they had to go get another guy, Xavier Leggett, a wide receiver. Which
was a stud.
He was a stud. But is that going to be enough? They're a team that needs to rebuild a lot of positions, and they're banking on their last two draft picks for a lot of that.
Well, and it's really hard to do that with two guys.
Well, statistically speaking, okay, in the first round draft picks, O-line, they hit way more than they miss.
Yeah.
Defensive players miss more than they hit. And the worst position statistically to take is a tight end, which, ironically, the Raiders, who needed a quarterback, if there's one team that should have sold the farm,
to it was get the Raiders. A quarterback, yep. To
move and they up. Didn't, and they took a tight end. They already had Michael Mayer. Now they get Brock Bowers. Who's going to throw him the ball?
Aiden O'Connor.
No, he's not.
From Purdue?
Can he take it from center right now?
Oh. He's their starter.
I would rather have Gardner Minshew. I'd rather have
He's listed as two, but they have both.
Now, they can get a project QB in Spencer Rattler or Jordan Travis if he heals up right from Florida State. He can throw a ball, but not like the top six. I truthfully think the Raiders thought someone was going to be there at 13.
Yeah, they thought Penix would drop. But, like, nobody saw Penix going 8 to Atlanta.
But part of who just signed Kirk Cousins for $120 million.
Yeah. So part of the thing is when you look at the teams, everybody knew Chicago needed a quarterback. Everybody knew Washington and Patriots needed quarterbacks. And they were the top three picks. So they're not moving.
Right.
It's going to be really hard to budge one of those teams when they know the guy they want, they can target him, and they can work for it. So it was the 4, 5, and 6 picks that we're going to end 7 that we're going to throw a wrench in the system. Like, who our quarterback's going to go there? Can somebody move up to one of those? And Atlanta, I think, really just threw a wrench in a couple teams, like Denver.
Big time.
Denver and Raiders specifically, because they wanted a quarterback. Minnesota moved up to get J.J. McCarthy, but that left nothing.
Yeah. I mean, there was no more quarterbacks really left.
In Mel Kiper's rankings, Bo Nix was ranked like 50th or something. Yeah. He was like the 6th quarterback ranked. But then the next quarterback ranking is like 200 and something. He's projected 5th round.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you go from first, like say Bo Nix, he had him as a late first rounder. You go from a late first rounder to a 5th rounder. That's your drop off.
Right.
Well, of those 6 taken, I think the one that has the steepest hill ahead of him is Drake May.
Yeah.
New England is decimated. And
nothing.
He's not – I don't think – I just don't like him as a QB.
Well, I think as Bears fans, we're snake bit by North Carolina quarterbacks.
And I'm trying to keep that out of my mind. I really am trying to keep that out of my mind.
Trubisky has ruined that university for us.
Yeah, he did.
Through no fault of his own.
Yeah.
But he was put in a wrong place. We never should have sold the farm to get him.
Yeah, I know.
To move up one spot, right? I mean, it was just – it was so ridiculous. And that set this franchise back 8 years.
And ironically, the GM that did that is the GM at Atlanta, who just
Pace. He's an assistant.
I thought he was. Oh, he's an assistant. Yeah, sorry, but he's still in. But that
he's
organization.
Still there. Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's still putting his name in the hat, saying, "Hey,
here's an idea.
There's this quarterback I really like. Let's go grab this guy, even though we just paid
$170 million.
Yeah, just.
I know we need edge rushers, but let's get this quarterback.
All right. So let's take, because I know your answer is Chicago.
Yeah.
Who is the, and we're going to say non-quarterback taking. So you don't get to pick a team that took a quarterback.
Well, what about, we took a quarterback and a receiver. So
we
I
know,
think a Dunze at
9
Chicago, is probably the steal.
Even as a Detroit fan, I will admit Chicago knocked us out of the park. They had 2 top 10 picks. They got some wicked weapons. They already had a good core. That's
who
fine.
Improved their team the most?
Who
right. from that? From
who
that.
Made the best decision on what came to them? And I'm going to say I love Arizona with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
There was speculation of trading, right? Everybody said, oh, maybe they can trade and get even more draft capital. They already had 11 picks.
They didn't need
11
more.
Or 12.
Yeah.
They
Why?
Have enough. Take the best guy. And if you're rolling with Kyler Murray, give him a target. And that's exactly what they did.
Yep.
I like Joe Alt to the Chargers. I think Jim Harbaugh wants that Smash Mouth.
What were
football.
You saying? That it's a skill position or something.
Said, oh, you know, Chargers should have taken a skill position, and Jim Harbaugh said, for us, offensive linemen are the skill position.
Yeah.
So he wants to bully people. Right. He wants Smash that front mouth. Line to push people around and create holes and open the game. But if you drop down a little more, I mean, so, Rome to Chicago is a great pick.
I think the Giants. I'm not mad with them taking a wide receiver. I just think that there's so many holes, and the Giants need to. It's almost a rebuild for them already. Because is Daniel Jones really the answer?
Is he it? Right.
Yeah. I like going to pick 16 and 17, where the defensive players, I don't mind Latu, but his injury really.
The injuries. The medical injury or something.
Really
right.
And that's why he dropped so far. Right,
but was and he could have. They could have had Dallas Turner.
Yeah, but and that's the thing is, and he was the safe first off. So that means that Indianapolis was like, well, we've had a guy that had his neck fused before.
Yeah,
and he could still throw the ball, so this guy can still attack. I mean, I know that's a horrible analogy, but like,
he's
a lot of people were very. We don't want to touch him in the first round, because of the medicals. It's not, they weren't denying he could play.
Exactly.
It's just, is he worth that first?
Well, round? Well, I mean, Washington wouldn't clear him, right? No. Yeah. So that's why I had to transfer. They said you aren't medically cleared.
A college program, their medical staff said, you're not able. You are physically medically retired. Not able. You should retire from football. And he went on to have a great run and get himself drafted. And good for him. But I want him to do well. So, I hope he stays healthy, but that scares me there. But the Byron Murphy and Dallas Turner,
those two picks
going that low, going to 16 and 17, they should have been closer to top five if there wouldn't have been a need for quarterback. In any other year where you're taking like quarterback one and two and then a wide receiver and then it's edge rushers and offensive line, right? Like
So the Seahawks, I mean, I guess at that point, what receiver are you going to take? But
Byron Murphy is—he's going to be a stud. He is a high quality defensive tackle.
He's a big boy.
He's fast athletic and strong.
He's super athletic.
And then, I mean, I know everyone's high on Dallas Turner. I see him more as like a almost more of an outside linebacker that can play edge. He's not a true edge in my opinion. The edges that I would have to go all the way down to Darius Robinson. I think he went too soon. I saw him more as a second round, but that's a big defensive end that can really stuff the run.
Yeah.
So the Cardinals getting Marvin Harris Jr. And then Darius Robinson, they filled two big holes on both sides of the ball.
Having two draft picks in the first round is always
improves
the
team.
It's so huge. Even if you, because it's like throwing darts sometimes, right? Something has to stick. Look, out of the six quarterbacks.
Yeah.
2 to 3 are going to be stars. Half of them are probably going to flop by first round standards.
Right. So look if you look at like that class where we picked Fields, right, there were six quarterbacks taken or five or four, something like that.
Yeah.
And those only guys, one is still on their team.
And Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
So Trevor Lawrence I think Kansas City with Xavier Worthy, that wide receiver from Texas, where they traded with Buffalo to get him at 28. And this dude is a 4.2 140.
Yeah, he's fast.
He's the fastest guy.
He's
fastest guy in the combine.
And I don't know what Buffalo was doing, trading that pick
to a division rival.
To the guys who have beat them the past, three years in a row?
The team that they're trying to catch up to and get over the hump, right?
They just gave them a weapon that Mahomes can hurt them more with.
Yeah,
I don't know. And when did Mahomes do his most damage?
Yeah.
When he had Tyreek Hill. Yep. What was Tyreek Hill? A speedster.
Yep.
And this guy, I don't know how his hands, I don't
he's
know
he's littler than Tyreek, but he's fast,
he is a speedster, he's so and he's going to help them out immensely.
And he plays that fast, too. Yeah. It's not just raw speed. He plays at that speed. And then, for me, it's the question, when it happened, San Francisco, Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
Again, I saw him later, but San Francisco takes weapons that you didn't think were going to be great, and all of a sudden, they're straight up studs.
Wait, like Christian McCaffrey? I think everybody knew that weapon was going to be great.
Yeah, but
and they traded.
But how
what are you talking about Debo
them?
Or their how offensive
they
scheme?
Used them in their offensive scheme. They did such a great job
bringing
out their best qualities. Ricky Pearsall makes crazy, crazy catches.
Right,
and he holds onto the ball.
But so, maybe he would have been there in round two.
Yeah, true.
You know? I mean, that's the whole thing. Are you overreaching for somebody that's going to fall later Or you fall, and that's the whole draft process.
The only thing as a GM I can compare it to is fantasy football, right? Yeah. We go in fantasy football drafts, and you don't want to be stuck on the tail end of a run. So these teams that needed quarterbacks, as they say, desperation is a sticky scent, right? Like these guys know they need a quarterback. They have to go up and reach for a guy, throw a dart at the board, and hope Bo Nix hits.
Yeah.
Hope Penix hits. In the future, you have to take that shot because you're on the tail end. And it might not be your fault. It might just be where you are positionally, right? Yeah. Sometimes you sit in a position, you need a defender, all those offense go off the board, you're sitting pretty.
So let's
– but
– I will say my three losers of the first round.
Okay.
Whatever Atlanta was doing, I can't still – I still can't figure that one out. Yeah. They have to be the biggest question mark for me.
The Raiders.
The next one is the Raiders. Taking a tight end when you already have Michael Mayer, who's actually balling out.
Yeah,
he's doing good. Great stuff. No one can throw him the ball. You didn't sell the house to go get a quarterback. You took best available, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then for me, actually, Green Bay Packers. I don't think they filled the spots they needed. I'm happy they took an O-lineman. Taking a
tackle. I did love watching their fan get publicly shamed by the Detroit fans, wearing a big cheese head, and just the look of disbelief and shock and disappointment.
It's awesome.
I felt like it almost had to be staged. It was so perfect. So I'm going to pretend it wasn't.
That guy's a good tackle from all intents and purposes, but he's there in the second round.
Too. He is there in the second
round. There's a lot of offensive.
There was weapons they could have taken that could have made the NFC North way more dangerous.
Yeah.
So speaking of second round, Chicago doesn't have a pick. Am I correct?
We do not.
So looking at – because rounds 2 and 3 are tonight.
Yep.
So we'll see how it pans out.
And that scares me because the Packers pick early. They're 41.
So
they can fill some of those spots.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be eating my words.
So my Lions have my Lions have the round 2, number 29, so the 61st overall. And you, as the Bears fans, do not pick
like 75.
Until pick 75th, which is – pick 11 in the third round, and that's your only pick there.
That's fine.
Detroit
that's
fine. Does, so Detroit doesn't have a third
round. How crazy this draft has been. We may have someone that falls.
What are you looking for them to pick up?
I think we have to
what
go
would
O-line,
be your ranking?
O-line.
You want an O-line.
Offensive line.
For Detroit, I would love a wide receiver. Yeah.
For me, the guy I want at that spot at 75, Kieran Amegadije. He's from Yale. He's a hometown boy from Chicago.
There we go.
And he's not a day one starter, but he has all the intangibles.
Listeners, did you like how Horner pulled that out? He didn't even look at his computer.
I did not.
He is a draft guru.
I love it.
For the Bears.
For the Bears. Everyone else.
Everyone else and whatever. Yeah. All right. So let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Great third episode. Let's one final thing to end with.
One quick nod.
See, this happens every episode. No.
Who made our intro music?
I arranged it.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
because we're going to start hopefully taking student submissions.
We're going to get some student submissions in here for some intro music. And we may even do a little competition about it where
we
may get a listener's poll and see which one they like the most. We can get some some action off this. I think I like that.
Right. And we can mix it up every week or every episode.
Because this is episode 3. And they still haven't shut us down.
No.
So we're going to keep rolling,
things,
guys.
It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know how we're hearing great things.
Oh, and let's discuss the elephant in the room if we can. Mr. We will not. No. Don't
he
mention
who has
his name.
Been banned from the show.
He will never be on here. And we won't even mention what he said to disparage this wonderful podcast.
And let's say how awful the Colts are.
Miserable.
And it hurts me because my dad loves the Colts. They're just the worst team in the
NFL. But you know, Giannis.
I hope Latu sucks. just because of he who shall not be named.
Exactly. He's like Voldemort. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And, this is Hunter Horner and Klein. Have a great weekend.